The great musician Chet Atkins climbed from humble beginnings in East Tennessee to become a major record producer and one of the most famous guitar players of his era. 10 years after his death, the man some people call Mr. Guitar is the subject of continued adoration and a retrospective exhibit at Nashville's Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum. Craig Haverhurst of member station WPLN has more.
Chet Atkins is no longer the household name he was in the 1960s when he was all over TV and radio with his guitar.
Right now, let's look at a little guitar magic from Chet Atkins.
But every year, the Chet Atkins Appreciation Society packs a Nashville hotel. This was the 27th gathering.
I saw the list of countries this year, and it's like New Zealand, Japan, Poland, and it's the common bond is the music of Chet Atkins.
Pat Kirtley has performed at Chet Atkins Days for 22 years. He's a veteran fingerstyle guitarist who credits Atkins with making his own career possible.
Chet made it okay to be a solo guitar player. And it's not that there weren't solo guitar players before him, but there weren't that many. Chet brought solo guitar to everybody.
Even to this day, young devotees are embracing Atkins' style. Ben Hall, a 22-year-old from Okolona, Mississippi, is a new star among the Chet Atkins faithful. At his convention showcase, Hall used the tricky right-hand technique that Chet adopted from Kentuckian Merle Travis and refined in the 1940s and 50s.
It revolves around a bass note. Dom, 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 dom. The thumb is actually playing that part. Between those notes, dom, tink, dom, tink, dom, is the chords. The fingers, Merle used one. Chet thought Merle was using two, so he started using two and three and sometimes a handful of fingers, you know. They play the melody. And there's famous stories of so many great guitar players along the way who play other styles listening to this and say, I had no idea that's one instrument.
Atkins made his first solo recordings in the mid-40s, but it would take until 1955 to land his first hit with this record, Mr. Sandman. He was 31 and more than a decade into his professional career. Born in the Appalachian town of Luttrell, Tennessee, he acquired a hard-to-play Sears Silvertone acoustic guitar when he was about 10. Inspired by Travis and jazz guitarists George Barnes and Django Reinhardt, he practiced obsessively in high school and then sought work.
He knocked around on the radio circuit for a good long while.
Carolyn Tate, chief curator of the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum exhibition, says it was a struggle at first.
Your radio popularity in those days was based on the number of cards and letters that you got in, and he was just so shy. Nobody was writing in for him, and so when times got tough, they would get rid of Chet.
Then a connection with one of the seminal early country music groups changed everything.
You've been listening to radio's famous Carter sisters, Mother Maybelle, Chet Atkins, and yours truly, Joe Slattery. Your announcer will tell you when to expect us back. Until then, thanks a lot for listening, and so long, everybody.
When the Carters were asked to join the Grand Ole Opry in 1950, Chet came with them and quickly established himself in Nashville's new recording scene. He backed Hank Williams on Cold, Cold Heart and Elvis on Heartbreak Hotel. And in freewheeling sessions like this one from 1952, he and his fellow music row pickers shed the limits of commercial country and swung with the best of them.
He'd launch into some kind of brand new jazz style of playing or something that no one had ever heard before. All because of all the things that had entered his head up to that point.
Guitarist Ben Hall says Chet Atkins was open to all of the great music of his era and cites a letter Atkins wrote to his sister from New York City.
He said, I've heard some great music since I've been here. Even heard a guy named Art Tatum, you know, the fellow who plays such fine piano. And that tells you all you need to know about how curious Chet's ears were.
Atkins would bring the city to the hills and the hills to the city for the rest of his career. As a recording artist, he made nearly 90 studio albums and released more than 100 singles, featuring intricate arrangements of everything from old fiddle tunes to calypso music to Beatles covers. Atkins also enjoyed a long, influential career as a music executive. As head of RCA Records in Nashville, he became one of the architects of the so-called Nashville sound. That fusion of country with string-laden pop rankled some traditional music fans, but it opened up new markets and helped Music City thrive in the 1960s. Hall of Fame curator Carolyn Tate says the exhibition aims to tell those stories while also letting visitors glimpse the private Chet Atkins.
Folks that knew him and went to the house always spoke about him being the consummate tinkerer.
The museum reconstructed Atkins' home workbench and filled it with the voltage testers, vacuum tubes, and all the other stuff that was on it when he died in 2001.
There are very few of his guitars that he hasn't put a drill to or a saw to or put a big hole in it or just made it his own.
Country star Steve Warner, a longtime Chet Atkins friend and protege, says it was the perfect unifying symbol.
I had goosebumps, man, because it was identical. It's exactly the way it looked at his house when he walked into his control room.
Warner recalled bringing over an electrified classical guitar whose bridge had become separated in a hot car. He'd hoped only for advice about where to get it fixed.
And here's Chet Atkins. He lays it up on his workbench. He's loosening all the strings and pulls them apart. And he reaches over and is grabbing tools and he's working on it, you know, and takes the bridge off. I'm like, oh, my God, he just took my bridge off. And he's starting to sand on it. And he just says, well, just leave it with me. He goes, I'll get it fixed up for you. So Chet fixed it for me, you know, didn't charge me a penny, of course. And I'm thinking, how cool is that? Chet Atkins working on this guitar.
Over the last decades of his life, Atkins stepped back from the business and made more time to record and perform with symphony orchestras, at the White House, and at home, where he made this recording on solo guitar. One example of an artist who played and lived with amazing grace. For NPR News, I'm Craig Havokhurst in Nashville.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.